You are looking at a traveler who just bought a ticket for a very special kind of a trip. The cost? A few dollars. And his mind.
Do you like music?
It's rich. It's alive. It's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame. Fortune. Platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Howdy, hi, and welcome. It's been a while, my friends, since we've greeted you in such a manner, but this is episode 55 of Cut by Cut Podcast. I am your host, Eric. Your other host is...
Hey, it's Chris!
And we're bringing you Topic Engine 2.0. That's right, today's theme is I'm okay, you're not okay, and we're going to be talking about David House...
Dave Haas.
That's right. We're going to be talking about Boston legends, The Trouble. We're going to be looking at what's next over the course of the next couple months as we introduce Radio Free Alderaan for all you Star Wars fans. And we're going to be paying homage to a few folks who have gone to the great beyond in the music world who are pretty important to, I think, you know, many of our listeners, myself included. Or just me and nobody else. I don't care. But I'd like to pay a little bit of respect, don the cap to them as they pass into the great stage of the sky. Apparently, the industrial heaters have turned on. So if you're hearing
timing.
Stuff in the background, yeah, that's exactly what they is. How you doing, Chris?
I'm all right. How is you?
I'm doing all right. We, bouncing around. Got a couple things going on.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
All right, good. It's everybody else who's not okay.
It's them.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's you out that no. Our listeners are all okay.
They're too. All okay. Yeah. I'm okay. You're okay. There's what it is.
Yeah.
We're going to first start off with Dave Haas and a track you chose.
Yes.
So,
I'm just going to jump right in. Everyone, we're going to get adult here for a minute, only just in language. So if you're a household that values the lack of use of four-letter words, play us a little later when you've got four-letter word time.
You know, four-letter words that everybody loves, like chew and tomb.
Yeah, so that was your warning. We're talking Dave Haas. So with the theme being, I'm okay, you're not okay, this song popped right in my head. Now, yes, this is not the first time Dave Haas has come up on this podcast. It's going to be the last for a while because I'm going to go, I'm going to try to get on some other topics, but he's clearly influenced my life. I dig all his stuff. And when we said, I'm okay, you're not okay, the song Dirty Fucker came up in my head. It's off his most recent album called Bury Me in Philly. And it's a great jam, and I think everyone will appreciate the spirit of it because every one of us has been in a situation where some son of a gun... Now I'm going family friendly.
Right.
Some son of a bitch is jacking up whatever you're trying to do, and
he's jacking up what you're putting down.
Here's a song for that moment, for the soundtrack of your life.
I think I could
Now I'm going to say you get a twofer with this one, though, because Hawes is a frequent, you know, callback for you.
Yeah.
Somebody you constantly, you know, kind of run to,
yep.
Which is great. But you also are madly in love with the Philly scene. So this is from the album Bury Me in Philly. So you get that definite twofer. But this song also really flirts with country music.
Yeah, he's got a flair to him, especially as he's gone, embraced some of his soloness, the solo track he's on right now. Yeah, he has much more country stuff.
Yep.
But this is certainly highlights some of that. But it's got that, I don't know, it's got that flair of the kind of pop rock that we know. There's a little John Cougar in there. There's some Bruce Springsteen in there. You know, Tom Petty, and it's all in there, right? Like he's a clear disciple of Springsteen, which we've talked about before.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And Philly not too being too far away from New Jersey, you know, it's all there.
And so you chose this for what particular reason?
Well, so it's that I'm okay, you're not okay, but I was in a good place, and it's that corner cut and son of a bitch. You're just, again, whether it's snaking your line in the coffee line or whether it's something at work where you had something lined up and someone steals some credit or doesn't give you credit or, I don't know, maybe you don't like, I'll go right to the top. Maybe you're not happy with some of the decisions we made in the White House.
Whoa, you're getting pretty political there, Chris.
I went there on a purpose. he had a t-shirt for a while that he made, and it was, it was POTUS doing his lip biting, finger pointing, and it said right on the front of the shirt, dirty fucker. So he capitalized on maybe the people who are in of that frame of mind.
And I don't think our president would wear that as a as anything less than a badge of honor.
Right.
I think that he would be proud to be called that. In fact, he's bragged about his dirty fucking exploits.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So for as far as he's concerned, yes, he is a dirty fucker.
Yeah, and I don't mean to. We try to stay out of the political realm, but this song, yeah, there's a little bit of that going on. So yeah, this is nothing more than a feel good, like, hey, you tried to bring me down, but I'm not going to let you ruin my day.
That's something that, you know, like, I'll ask you. When you are besieged by the dirty fuckers, right? When you're out there in the world, right? And you're not around your family and friends, and what is it, do you think? I guess what I'm wondering is how do you judge other people? And like, are you one of those people who believes that everyone else is actively working against you?
Oh, no. No, I'm not.
I'm trying to move away from those kind of thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely am. You know, and it can seem like it, but like what bothers me, I think, hugely is this meme mentality where everyone is so invested in their own unhappiness now, and it's almost like a bragging right. Like, here's a meme that expresses how lonely and sad and depressed I am. Here's another meme that like talks about how horrible I feel about the world. And I'm like, if you invested a quarter of the interest in trying to make the world better,
yeah,
than you do in complaining about how much it sucks.
So you're just trying to say, yeah, put something back out into the world rather than just take from it.
Yeah, and because if you look at the lyrics to this song, he's talking about like, I thought I can cope. I wish I had you by my side. If I just had somebody with me fighting this war, I could do better.
Yep.
Right. And it's always the dirty fuckers out there who make me feel like terrible. So there's some, you know, level of blame, and I realize it's a song, right? I mean. And it's a country song, right? So there's this level of blame. Like, it's always some dirty fucker. It's always some corner-cutting son of a bitch. Well, who the fuck cares?
Right? Well, yeah.
Because those people will always exist.
I agree. I think that's what this song's trying to say. I also think in this song, when I read into it, I get out of it, he knows he's to blame.
Or part of the problem,
at least. Right. Yeah. Like, I had my head in the clouds. I'm high on Lemon Hill, which is a place in Philly. And then we'll get into that in a second. Trash floats in the water like spoiled milk. So he's surrounded by, you know, dirtiness and fireworks blast. They give us a thrill. Like, I'm guilty of that too. And then Insomniac City always gives me the chills. So like he knows that he has this lifestyle and he always seeks it. So it's a negative feedback kind of, right?
Like, yeah,
I'm going to go into the city. I'm going to raise some hell, but I know I'm going to get myself into some trouble.
Sure.
And on top of that, I was relying on somebody to help get me out of this or to cope. Right.
Right.
And now she's had enough.
Well, so now, I mean, having come from this school of thought for my last 4 years, which was like the person I thought was going to help me through all this stuff, packed up her bags and took off, was like, I'm done with it. I think part of, you know, what I'm taking not from this song particularly, it's not in the song, but like when I hear some of the stuff that's sentimented or some of the sentiments in the song, I think like, yeah, but there comes a time where you just have to human up, pull up your grown-up pants and march forward.
Yep.
And I was having this conversation with someone the other day, like, you know, part of the I'm an adult child mentality is it's somebody else's fault. Somebody else is the reason why I'm in this situation. I'm not responsible enough or mature enough or strong enough to take any responsibility.
Yeah.
Or if it is somebody else's fault, if my parents were total assholes and didn't give me the tools to learn, well, as an adult, part of that is saying I can't blame my parents anymore. You know, part of being a grown-up means you've had years to adapt.
Yeah.
And if you continue to live in that world of, you know, they did me wrong, they did me wrong, they did me wrong, then it's a delayed sense of adolescence.
So I think I bring with me into this song that sense of introspection to know that if I'm calling someone a dirty fucker, then I should be also, you know, flipping the mirror back on myself so that I'm saying, well, wait a minute.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm partially to blame here because I'm wagging that finger. You know
there's
what I mean?
There's a really great podcast out there called Aggressively Positive.
Okay.
And it's run by this kid named Adam Thoreau, who has this group called Good People Doing Good. And I'm going to mess it up because I didn't write it down. But one of the things he said in the last podcast was, you should, what was it, fight for the things you love instead of against the things you hate.
Sure.
You know, so you support the things that you love. Those are the things that you should be supporting and loving and, and fighting for, and not the haters, like not the kids who are online like, nah, nah, nah. And I get caught up in it all the time. So it spoke to me, was like, yeah, why am I not supporting the new Captain Marvel movie rather than trying to convince other people that their misogyny is wrong? I mean, the misogyny is wrong. Everybody agrees with it. But I'm not going to, through an internet argument, I'm not going to have somebody go, oh, wow, you've rationalized me through it.
Yeah.
Because either they really believe it or they're just being a douchebag.
Well, the internet, it takes the humanity out of all of this.
Right? Certainly.
You know what I mean? You can't.
Yeah. And the second you realize there's a human on the other end of that, then things change.
Well, not even the second you realize it, you know it and you get to hide behind a veil. Whereas the second you're confronted by someone sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
You're not going to be so quick. Most people, there are
exceptions to every rule.
But I mean, myself included. I mean,
sure.
We primarily, you and I typically agree with each other.
Yeah.
So
it makes it easy.
The show is kind of, you know, even when we try to argue with each other, it tends to be like not shallow, but.
Well, I think the other thing too is even though we may not agree with each other on certain principles, I work with a guy, we'll call him Al.
Okay.
Al is everything I am not. He is a right-wing Republican. He worships Ronald Reagan. He believes that the wall is a necessity, you know.
Sure.
As a human being, Al and I get along. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Because I know that 90% of the time, his heart is in the right place. But there are some fundamental differences. And it blows people's minds that we're friends with each other. They're like, you know, like, you're a lefty liberal. Like, you are the snowflake. You are the libtard. How could you possibly liken him? I'm like, well, because Al's a human. Al loves his kids. He loves his students. He loves his family. You know what I mean? He really wants to make his society better. He's just approaching it from a different angle than I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's the part I hate about him. That's the part that I'm like, Al.
Well, and then that's the meeting in the middle. Like, you work together. You're going to the same supermarkets. You're, you know. Driving the same roads. So like,
and when we argue, we come at each other head on. Yep. And we're citing different things and we're pulling stuff up off the, you know, like facts and statistics off the internet, and we're throwing them at each other. But at the end of the day, I can say, hey, man, you know, good game. you know?
Yeah.
It's like a boxing match. You get two guys in the ring or punching the crap out of each other, and at the end, they're training in the same gym.
One guy had the right amount of protein that day.
Yeah,
last a little bit longer.
So one of the assignments that you had given me, but I think that's important real quick, is to realize that the people we're arguing with and the people we're fighting against are humans. And some of them are pretty unforgivable. But I think that there's more people who are forgivable than not forgivable.
Yeah,
like, well, if Al was a Proud Boy, I'd be like, screw you. You're a racist, misogynist asshole. You deserve what you get, dude.
Yeah.
Unforgivable. I don't want to know you as a human.
Sure.
But Al fundamentally is different from me politically. He believes in equality. He believes that women should have powerful roles. He just wants Republican women in that instead of Democratic women.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not saying keep people down. He's saying build people up. He's just building them up in a different camp. And that's the stuff I don't abide by, but I can still respect him as a human.
Yeah.
And I think once we lose that respect, once we stop dealing with people as humans, that's when we get...
It's also why some of the wars are so hard to fight right now. Again, hey, we tried to stay away from politics, but we're deep in it. But you had World War I and World War II, and there were, there were atrocities that happened there. They happened.
Yeah.
The war, though, if you look at the wars then versus war now, they call those like gentlemen's wars almost, right? Like, you agreed on neutral territories. You agreed on.
Yeah, there were sides.
There's conventions for how to handle people who have surrendered from the other side, right? And there's ways to negotiate to get them back. Well, you know, the modern world being one of more extremes, where, I mean, those extremes are always there, but the World War II type problems have kind of gone away, and we're left with the extremes.
Right? Yeah, well, I mean, well, we're still funny how some of the World War II problems are coming back.
Some of them are coming back, but they're not. We're not fighting a war over the issues right now.
Right.
And say what you want about wars that are going on right now, whether that we should be fighting them or not. You don't have those middle grounds to meet in the middle and have a respectful conversation, because some of it's a lot of it's religion based, and they categorically don't believe and think you should die for your infidelity.
Yeah.
And then on the other sides have flaws too. And so the point being that the middle ground is where it's at. You have to be able to disagree.
Most decided.
And walk away.
What did they say? A good compromise is where both sides lose. So you had asked me to spend some time thinking about the top 10 signs of what a jerk is. So let's beeline away from heavy politics and move into more humanist things.
Interpersonal. And also, don't worry about the number 10.
Because I didn't get 10.
Yeah, I also don't agree with that there's that many. But I also want to stay out of the stuff that's part. I tend to find a lot of stuff that was workplace related, right?
Yeah, this is what we...
We all work with a bunch of assholes.
There's things that happen at work which are irritating and terrible, but doesn't necessarily make somebody a jerk. Like, if you're stealing my lunch, you're a jerk. If you leave your lunch in the refrigerator for a week and it rots, that's a jerky thing to do, but it doesn't mean you're a jerk. It just means that you've forgotten your lunch for a week. And I think to equivocate and say that somebody is 100% something because of an unconscious action.
So I think you took the spirit of it right. I have, again, with the thing we talked about earlier, I'm having more of a signs you know you're a jerk, like maybe something you should examine about yourself.
Yes.
Like, what moments do you have when you've gone that one step too far and say, oh no, I'm a jerk, you know?
Oh, and that's what I did. I mean, all of the things that are jerky here are basically me saying, this is what I hate in other people. Why do I hate it in other people? Because I hate it when I do it.
I'll tell you one of mine.
All right, go for it.
When you're in a meeting for a very specific reason, or trying to do a podcast for a very specific reason, and you hijack the conversation and take a left turn and end up talking the whole time that you had allotted for something to be totally about what you wanted to talk about, not what everyone else wanted to talk about.
Can I add to that? Can I add to that? The meeting is winding down, and someone says,
"Also,
one last question." You send that as a you send that as an email later. Don't do that to people. I'm going to go with correcting people's grammar on the internet. Look, people are typing fast. Some people don't care. Some people are typing on the toilet. Some people have big sausage thumbs. Spelling errors and grammar errors.
Some people are using voice to speech to text.
Oh my God, which is a total nightmare. I think what did I ask you today?
You asked me if I shit wanted Asian food.
Yes. And I couldn't believe that voice to text would do that. Shit want Asian food? Like, anyway.
He meant still. Do you still, we like ourselves some Thai crispy wings before the show, and that's what we wanted.
Oh my God, shit want Asian food? So correcting grammar is a jerk thing to do.
So I give you a hard pass on that. It's your job. You are entrenched in.
Well, I'll tell you why it's so on my radar. Is this past week, I was involved in a conversation about the Captain Marvel movie, and this guy on the internet was basically like, I'm not going to see this film. I have no intention of seeing it. I've seen all the others, but I'm not going to see this one. The implication being he's not going to do it because it has a female lead.
Okay.
So I very kindly corrected his grammar, sent him it back, and then asked him, I said, please feel free to respond, extra credit for spelling and grammar. And this guy lost his fucking mind.
Your passive aggressive tone was not appreciated.
Oh, no. He's like, first of all, fuck you. I don't care what you think. And then proceeded to tell me all the things he did care about, right? My sexuality, my facial hair, his belief that I was a Starbuck hipster, which I think would be my porn name.
From Starbuck hipster. Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. Oh, he must have not liked that she was a woman in the reboot.
Oh my God. I can only imagine the pain this man feels every day in his life. But I was so I laid into the fact that I said, well, it's great that you don't care. And then list all the things that really upset you. And you used more exclamation points, I think, than a six-year-old does when she's texting her friends. And that set off another big thing. And it was just like this big thing. Anyway, I got called hipster scum, which, again, I have friends who call me that. So that's not like what? Wah? But did I do a jerk thing? Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And it killed me because I lowered myself. Instead of fighting for something that I love, I attacked the thing I hated.
You know, when the bear is not an actual bear, but a
otter.
A human.
A honey weasel.
A human who self destructs as a after being poked.
Yeah.
It's fun.
See, I don't get.
You don't get satisfaction out of that?
No, I really don't. It bothers me. It bothers me when people explode like that because I think, who's he taking this out on?
So let's Star Wars Last Jedi. Star Wars Force Awakens. We watched the lead antagonist,
mm-hmm.
Kylo Ren, have temper tantrums.
Yeah.
Temper tantrums.
Yes.
And someone who has, he's a man. I know he's still young, but we are watching, and I said to myself, I don't really like this out of a villain, right? I don't like this out of this guy who's supposed to be badass having a temper tantrum. But I do like I have sometimes in me unbridled rage. So I get the temper tantrum from that standpoint, right? Where like I really need to destroy something just to get out what I'm feeling inside. And that's a flaw. But I see it as a flaw.
That's 100% the plot of Fight Club, by the way. Right?
I wanted
to destroy something beautiful.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
How do you deal with a world that tells you you need IKEA catalogs? You punch grown men in a basement.
Fight Club just got me off on a whole other tangent. I'm not going to go there. I like seeing that other people have, maybe this makes me a jerk. I like seeing that other people have the same flaws as me. So I see on the big screen, mm-hmm. Kylo Ren throwing a temper tantrum. I'm like, man, that's what I look like. You know, when I
when
I get mad and smash the laundry
but
basket.
But as a fictional character, yeah. I mean, let it be self-reflective. Yeah. That's perfect. What happens online is I don't care about the other person. I don't like the me that I become when I dig in and make somebody feel like shit.
It's not your proudest moment.
It's not. And it doesn't make me feel good. And I think to myself, like, I'm a teacher.
But I take the John Wick approach to that. You just unleashed on that guy stuff he's been unleashing on other people.
Yeah. But does that,
No, it's totally, again, it's snake eating its tail.
Again, I go back to seriously, the comment of, who is he taking this out on? Yeah. When he's offline now, who's he going to snap at? Yeah, who's he going to scream at? The guy's profile picture was a picture of his daughter. Yeah. I can only imagine the hell this poor little girl has to live in with a father who refuses to acknowledge that girls deserve stories, right? Women don't get stories in this man's world. That's upsetting to me.
Yeah. And on behalf of his daughter.
Yeah. This girl's being robbed of imagination, of heroes, of hope, of future by a man who believes that, you know, just because he can't comprehend why somebody would want it, it doesn't deserve to be told. And that to me is the ultimate jerk. So I point my finger, you know, I point at him, but I've got three more pointing right back.
Right,
at
there
me.
You go. I love it. Yeah.
So what's your next one?
Oh God, I lost my list because we went totally down that rabbit hole. Let me think of something innocuous. Give me another one. I'll come back to me. I'm sorry. Right. I lost my list.
Those who take up a parking space and a half. This is not me. I'm very self-conscious about this. But man, when I see people do this, I have been known in the past to take photographs of their cars and send it to my friends like, what an asshole this person is. And I secretly have always wanted to call them out, like go into the store and be like, would the silver BMW please go, your car is on fire.
Now, do you find in your experience that person drives a car that they value, that's worth more than yours?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Almost entirely.
So is there any envy there? This is me self-reflecting back on myself.
It's not, no.
And I'll tell you a story.
Because to me, cars are totally utilitarian. Okay. It's pure, I'm a more important human than you are. That's why I get the extra half of space. That's a legit something that makes me upset about other people. I will clearly judge you as a jerk.
Yeah. So two things to say about that. One is around here, people like their trucks, right?
Yeah.
They don't design parking spots for some of the trucks that they have these days on the road, right?
Right, right.
So when the people try to fit their trucks in a normal spot, so like there's a parking lot, right? There's spots closer to where you're trying to go and spots further away. Don't F up the parking lot closest to the building.
Right.
If you want to take up more than one spot, go to the back of the, take, we appreciate you and your large truck and your, I'm happy we live in a world where you can afford to put gas in that thing.
But please,
I was just in,
further away.
I was just overseas. They pay per liter what we pay a gallon. So like we have it good.
Oh yeah.
We have it better. But yeah, take your truck and park over there.
The other one was I used to go in Allen, when I lived in Allentown, I used to go to a gym where they had handicap spaces, like the five handicap spaces were the ones closest to the door.
Yeah.
And people would park there who weren't handicapped because they didn't want to walk the extra 20 feet into the gym. Yeah. And I used to think, what kind of lazy fucker are you that you're going to work out, but you will not put in the extra 10 steps?
I like the irony there.
And I would light up a cigarette and people would like, Scott, like you just worked out, dude, you having a cigarette. And I'd be like, you worked out, dude. You couldn't walk the extra 20 feet. You just pile of crap.
You were looking for a reason to loiter about their car.
And I did.
I love it.
Yeah.
You jerk.
Well, we gotta kind of, in order to keep up with the pace of the show.
No, that's good.
Why don't we do a couple more here? What do you got?
Well, I say people who can't handle honest to goodness, like criticism, mm-hmm. honesty.
Yeah.
Constructive honesty, not you know, like that shirt doesn't really, you know, match your, you know, there's no reason to get personal about anything, but just, I find myself having the European sense of how are you, like when someone asks, how are you, or what do you think of this?
Yeah.
No, not to be a hipster. Why ask me a question if you want platitudes?
Yeah.
Like if you, don't ask me how I am if you don't want to hear how I am, because I'm going to tell you how I am. I know we opened the show with platitudes.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So like, or what do you think of this?
Sure. You know? Well, it goes back to that. There's that great Harlan Ellison line, which is, and I tell my students this all the time, contrary to what you've grown up believing, your opinions don't matter. Nobody cares. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before, right? If you ever want to test it, wait till your parents tell you, hey, I need you to take out the garbage. No, I don't. It's my opinion that I will not take out the garbage. See how far that goes. Or wait till someone cooks you a meal and go, I don't like this.
As a parent, I was trying to explain. I threw out too big of words and I was being a prick, but I threw out words to my my daughter forgot who she was talking to. And
yes.
She forgot that up until a certain age, it's an authoritarian.
It's a regime. Yeah.
You know, so where I'm going with that is don't forget who you're talking to. I'm your friend most of the time. But when shit comes down to, there are things you have to do.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. And you will have a time in your life when you get to make a choice.
Yeah, you want to live in your own filth? By all means, child.
Yeah. But guess what? You didn't take a shower for the last 3 days.
Problematic. Yeah.
Time. Time for shower.
Well, the opposite side of this is that I tell kids your informed opinion is what matters.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
You know, if you have a reason for stating your opinions. So I don't like that shirt. It does not flatter your build. It is an ugly color. You know, that ugly color is still, you know, too subjective. But if there are reasons behind something, then you're better off, right? And that's where constructive criticism comes into place versus just dumb versus have you considered.
My sentiment was something around unsolicited versus don't tell me how this blouse looks on me. If I didn't ask you how the blouse looks on me, if I ask you, what do you think of my, here's some notes I put together, or here's an outline I put together. You know, what do you think about it? And again, some of this, it's overlapping into work, but you give your professional opinion or your subject matter expertise happens to overlap with what you're talking about. So I can tell you all the things that my experience and my training, tell you about this, and then to get mad about it and feel like people are unfairly targeting what you did and why didn't so-and-so get the same type of criticism.
Right.
And then you have to go back and document it and say, well, this thing I told you about, this person did, you did not. So Johnny just had his review and Johnny did not get nearly as many marks as I did. Well, Seth.
I feel like these are a little too on the nose, and hopefully Johnny and Seth aren't listening.
No, their names; those are fictional names.
Oh, okay, good. Those are fictional names for Paul and Michael.
Or the, you know, you didn't say any of this about Mary. Is it? It's because she's a woman. No, Mary did her goddamn job.
Right. Now she is a woman who did her job.
Yes.
You are a man who did not do his job. The last one I wanted to hit was my least favorite, and this is one that I don't do, but I approach it from a level of moral superiority, which is those who use the drive-through to both make decisions and order.
Yeah, we were talking
an unlimited amount of food. The drive-through is for ease. The drive-through ultimately is to expedite the process. So those people who A, know what they want, and B, don't want everything, can quickly go about their day.
You don't want people feeding the entire car from the drive-through.
I order black coffee with cash. It takes me 18 seconds to get my coffee and to drive away. But I leave at that prime time where we've got a driver with an SUV full of children, and they're using this SUV as a school bus to which they are stopping to pick up something for everyone. And it
wake up wraps for everybody.
I can hear it from my open window, right? It's like, welcome to the donut place. What would you like? I'm going to have a double latte with caramel, two sugars, and I want, okay, what do you want? I want to, do you have, no, now is not the time to be negotiating. Each kid in this car should know what the fuck they want and be able to order it. And if it's more than three things, get out of your damn car, go into the place.
In defense of that parent, of that person.
Yeah.
With a school bus full of children inside.
There's no defense, but I'll let you have it.
Well, they got them into the car.
Their job is done.
You're expecting them to park, get them all out of the car.
No, send one representative. Okay. Send one representative in with a list and a credit card. Anything you do to slow down the process for the people who care about getting to work on time makes you a jerk.
So I'm 39 years old. I've been drinking coffee for the last 4 years of my life.
Yes.
I didn't need it before 35 or so. and I actually took a lot of pride in that.
Yeah.
So I'm ashamed of the me now. If me then could see me now, I would be ashamed. However, coffee's a wonderful thing. I've grown to appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
There's some drugs you need.
Hell of a drug. Where I was going with that is I'm now a user of this line.
Yeah.
The line. And I have a sense of shame when I go pull to the drive thru. I order my coffee first. They say, "Would you like anything else?" And I go, and I don't have the willpower to say no. And I'm always like, I should go inside for this. I'll have a whatever.
Well, now you'll have a little floating knee head around you.
I already was self-conscious about it. If I'm not in a rush, I do, even if it's just me,
yeah.
I feel guilty for ordering more than the drink.
Look,
you know,
everybody gets two things at the drive-thru.
Two things. It's like a plane. You get the carry-on and a personal item.
Yep. You want the meal deal? Get the goddamn meal deal. You want the hamburger and fries? Leave the Coke. You get two things. Every person. Four people, eight items. You're done. You move on. It is not the time to ask about whether it's field to farm or farm table. It's not the time to
ask what color sprinkles they have today.
It's Dunkin' fucking donuts. You know what the menu is.
That was where I wanted to go with that is the so I'll relate to your thing. It's when you, whether it's role playing games or video games in general or people trying to order food at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Right. I know sometimes dinner decisions can be tough.
That's fine. You're not holding the rest of the world hostage because you can't decide between chicken parmesan or eggplant parmesan.
Well, let's say this. Everyone had the same amount of time to figure out what they wanted, and it was ample enough time. Let's say 10 minutes. Or we're going around the table playing a game. You know your turn is going to be in three turns. You know what your move should be.
Yeah.
So when it gets, invariably there's always one. It gets to you for your turn, know what you want.
But see, even like I can defend even the game, which is maybe a position or something changes your decision, right? But if you're at a restaurant, you're not holding anybody else hostage. There's nobody waiting for you to order.
Like at another table or something?
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. You know, maybe there's the person who's the finger in the air like, oh, I need extra lemon. But like, that's it.
Yeah.
When you're at a drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts, you know, like, or McBurger D's, you know, like, you know what's on the damn menu. They don't change. They haven't changed in 50 years. Hamburger, French fries, or some other kind of fried meat.
But
like, that's
but
what
they
you
have
get.
Avocado as an option right now. They didn't have that a week ago. You know who else are jerks? We're jerks. You're a jerk.
Everybody's a jerk. You know who else is a jerk? I don't know. We don't have much time left. We have about 20 minutes left, and we've got a couple things left to get through.
We have to do your song.
Well, I know, but I'm feeling like, should we just move along and talk about the other things? Because there are more things important than my song.
But I liked your song.
All right. So my song was... You don't have to tell me three times. There was a band in the late 90s named The Trouble out of Boston.
Yes, there was.
They were... And Boston is notorious for fantastic bands. And bands that have from everywhere, from Jonathan Richman to the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, from Greg Kinn to Van Morrison writing Astral Weeks in Boston. He actually counts as a Boston band for that one
album.
I will say, hands down, The Trouble produced Boston's greatest punk album.
Oh.
And easily one of the top 10 Boston albums.
Okay. Better than anything Aerosmith has done? That was tongue-in-cheek.
This is their song called Grasping at Straws. Ooh, and I just paused it. You got me thinking about Aerosmith and you totally threw me. So I, first of all, that opening line, why drink a beer if the bottle's got a bottom? Pretty soon everyone will leave. Nice exterior, the inside's rotten. I can't trust what I once believed. There's something about the sincerity and the honestness of self-recognition in this opening bit, right? There's so few songs that actually deal with things like, I've got a drinking problem, or I drink to forget, or... you know, I drink to self-abuse. And to me, that opening line, you know, is that. It's not worth drinking if I'm not going to get drunk. Right away, we're dealing with a problem.
Yeah.
Right away, we're dealing with somebody who's problematic. And actually, from a very different angle, one of the reasons I don't like drinking is because I know that my shutoff, my tolerance is high, number one, and my shutoff is almost non-existent.
So once you stop, you can't stop. There's a
right,
there's an and I'm not inertia there.
And I know that sounds like it, but I'm not an alcoholic. Like I can have a single beer, but what's the purpose? What's the point? I don't enjoy it as a drink on most occasions. And there are exceptions. You know, I'll go out to dinner with somebody and I'll have a beer because it'll go with the meal. But if I have a beer, I usually want to follow it up and get to that level where I'm feeling a little flighty.
Sure.
I also suffer from depression. So the second I have a beer, more so than any other hard alcohols or anything like that, it clicks in, that sullen, depressive part of me. And so I don't enjoy that, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not a place I want to be residing in. So this song has always grabbed me from that point of view. And... the refrain, by the time we get to the refrain of nobody laughs anymore, nothing's changed, we've seen it before, the song turns to the narrator being this older guy watching kids coming up. Like, if I could just tell the kids something
sure.
that they would listen to, it would be this. Because the scene's not fun. The drinking's not fun. What started out as a good time, going out to the clubs, going out to the shows, getting drunk and walking the streets, that changes very quickly into adulthood. You're only allowed to get away with that for so long before it's yep. problematic. Like, drunk at 22 is decidedly different in my mind than drunk at 32. Very different than drunk at 42. And drunk at 52, you know, it's
fun again. Comes back around.
Yeah, exactly. Drunk at 72 is hilarious. So the reason I did it with I'm okay, you're not okay, which was... sort of my twisted take on it, which was that false security that we say, oh, I'm in control, I know what I'm doing, it's all good, you're the problem, you're the one with the issue, you're the one with the questionable morality or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
So that's where I went with it. I don't know what you pulled out of.
So this music in general gets me nostalgic for... I think what I call, I forgot how I said it earlier in the show when we were talking about it, but it gets me nostalgic for a group of friends that I'm not friendly with anymore, I guess I'll say.
Sure.
Like we were all the right kind of asshole at the right times, you know what I mean? Where we all got along, but very quickly, I mean, you're talking just like this, the music scene that maybe this... The Trouble was from around 95, 96, if I believe. If I
98, 99. I think I saw them. I saw them live when I just moved back to Rhode Island.
Because they were part of that. They're on that Bridge Nine label. We you and I both have an affection for that label and a lot of the music they have supported and put out. And so they actually have some nice stuff, like 20 years of Bridge Nine, like Looking Back.
Yeah, well, they're repressed on Bridge Nine. They were originally on a
They were
a
repressed.
Skin label
called
GMM.
You're right. So,
I mean, that's neither here nor there per se.
Yeah. No, well, I was doing my association. So I associated them with that Bridge Nine label.
Yeah,
and all the bands that kind of come with that, and the scene at the time, and the which I was a part of, and the kid, you know, I was there. Yep. I was there for some of this, so that's why it brings up a nostalgia, right? It's that very fleeting part where we were members of the scene.
Yeah, definitely.
And I had friends that were all there, and we were all assholes. We were all, well, you know, I had no responsibilities in the sense of, you know, the adult world. You know, I was a kid. I had a car. And I had a job that who cares if I had it anymore, you know, next week. So screw the job today. We're driving up to Boston. We're going to go see the show. Hope we don't get arrested and get home the next day. So maybe I can go to work. Right. That kind of thing. So it brings up that I loved this music. I loved the energy of it.
Yeah.
I loved the bands like them. This band opens up The Explosion, Panic, Kill Your Idols. It's that Slapshot. It's all that, I don't know what to call it other than I call it like street punk.
It is. Yeah.
And it's just everyday people singing about everyday problems and very often, you know, pointing out to you ahead of I didn't look at these lyrics then. I sang along to this song. That's the other part. They all have like a sing-along part.
Yep.
That's the other part I like about this music. It's fast. It's aggressive. The singer gets up there, sings his part, maybe gives you a chorus, sings his part, and then there's a sing-along part.
Yeah.
Right? So even if you were straight edge or drunk or high on whatever you're high on there, everyone at that moment would be singing along and all, you know, hugging each other and chanting the part of the music. That
Yeah, well, it was very anthematic.
Anthem is the word.
For me... The Trouble were much more self-reflective. Gibby, I interviewed him once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and he was he still is, I would imagine. But in that interview, he was very aware of what he was doing, and he was very aware of the music he was making and its reflection and its basis on previous stuff. And one of the things that I took away from The Trouble at the time was Slapshot were anthematic, but they were telling me how to live my life.
Yeah,
Trouble.
There's a hard line there.
The Trouble weren't. The Trouble were doing this sort of... What they were doing was much more akin to what the Kinks were doing. They were bemoaning their past. You know, here's where I was. Here I was a kid once. I didn't have to worry about things. Yep. I'm getting older now, and the game is changing. And a lot of that freedom to be assholes on the streets and to do the things we want to do is fading really quickly. What legacy are we going to leave behind? What shoes are we trying to fill? And we're both preserving a scene, building a scene, and laying down the foundation for a future scene.
Yeah.
And
that latter part didn't really work very well.
Well, it did because internet happened.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, people stopped going to live shows and people stopped, you know, caring about the scene. And I mean that very open-handedly, and maybe, you know, there's still kids out there fighting for it, but the way in which music is now consumed is extremely different than it was in 98, 99. And this was really, I think, the last gasp of Boston punk. It's not to say there's not great bands coming out of Boston now, but at least, well, let me just say, for my generation and for my age bracket, it was like, this was the swan song. And it connected with me as... You know, a guy getting too old to listen to this, who was watching all these kids coming up and getting involved with other things, you know, video games or, you know, not caring about shows because they were at home playing video games or they were hanging out on the internet or whatever they were doing was very different from what we were doing as kids because we were bored and we got into trouble.
Yep.
not to be too self-reflective there, but I just think, and that's just through my eyes. I'm sure maybe there's other people who have other opinions about it.
Yeah, and the adrenaline for me was I was living two lives. It was like I go to college by day, I get my homework done, I'd button everything up, then I throw on my punk rock T-shirt and I go.
Sure.
Go up to Boston and go to a show. You know what I mean? And I guess that was, in a way, I look back at that and say, and it was, I had my school friends, friends that I knew, and people I still know, actual friends.
Yeah.
And I had the kids that I used to hang out with then, who, there's one or two that I care about that I am actually friends with, but, you know, there's a group of people there that I see once, twice a year. And I know that we were friends by circumstance. Not because anyone actually gave a shit about each other.
Right.
So we like to look back and, like, at the time we used to be arm in arm, our shoulder to shoulder, singing songs and getting along. But where are they now? You know, they're not in my life. My kids don't know them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm sure that, you know,
see them at a cookout and some of them are up to the same old shit.
And maybe it's me. Maybe it's us who changed. But I don't feel that way. Surely it's the kids who are wrong.
Our lives? No. I do think we all have changed in a way, but in the same time, I think we stayed. You weren't on the same path. That's all it was. Like, the paths intersected. Is all. You know, you're on the same part of the curve for a while, and then it went other places. It's really what it is.
And, well, speaking of curving and going other places. Boom. We are going to press pause on the topic engine. Now that it's just begun, consider this a layover to a whole new journey. Over the course of the next 5 months, we are going to put out 10 shows. This is our goal. And we are going to be putting out 10 mixes based on characters from a relatively small art film called Star Wars. It's going to be called Radio Free Alderaan. And
Real Rebel Radio.
Real Rebel Radio's Radio Free Alderaan. The premise is basically going to be that we are the final broadcasts coming from Alderaan. And we've put out, you know, we're a radio talk show, if you will. So
not unlike what you're listening to now.
Well, but more,
but more of a radio show.
More of a radio show.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be. It's going to be me, Eric, with RAD10, who will be played by Chris, and we'll be putting out every other episode. The opposite episodes will be put out by Chris.
By me with my droid, K1R3.
Exactly. And it's going to be a mix of everything from soul to doom metal to 60s mod to punk rock. And it's going to be basically each show is going to be themed after a different character. So we're going to start with Lando Calrissian. And then the next episode, we're going to move into everyone's third favorite bounty hunter, Bosk.
Underutilized and...
Yeah, totally.
He showed up in the Clone Wars a little bit, which I didn't catch all of because I...
No, but I love me some Bosk. So I was really stoked when that was your first out the gate. And then I believe it's going to be Maz Kanata. And have you chosen your second one yet?
No, undetermined. TBD.
So the first three will be Lando, Bosk, and Maz Kanata. Now, those of you playing at home who are like, where does it fall in canon? There actually is a super secret timeline. And if you can piece it together, you will win an envelope filled with 100% authentic air from Rhode Island. I will open the envelope, catch as oxygen as I can.
Your very own no prize.
Exactly. Don't sue us, Marvel. And don't sue us, Disney, while you're at it. So we hope that you will join us for the ride on that. And those of you who are shy about tuning in, by all means, please feel free to allow this to be a little bit more interactive. You can hit us up at cutxcutpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up at cutxcutpodcast on Instagram. You can hit us up on the Facebook at cutxcut. And you can leave us a 5-star review at iTunes at cut x cut no spaces.
I hope you took notes.
Yeah, please. We'll put it in the conclusion things. You can also tune into Radio Mutation as you see fit.
And we have the good old cutxcut.com where you can find our entire backlog. So this topic engine is we have the website organized into what we call seasons.
Yes.
The blog part of it is obviously just a stream, so you can just go dial into the timeline. We do have little collections or portfolios set up of loose groupings of our episodes. And so, this will be season 5, believe it or not, Topic Engine 2.0.
Yep.
And I might set up a separate...
Separate thing for Radio for Free Mutation.
Radio Free Alderaan.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But it all will be just in the stream mixed up. So we appreciate everyone tuning in. Do we have another topic for the next topic
we
show?
We do. While I am slowly getting the new topics out, so as not to make too much... noise off mic here.
Make all the noise.
Yeah, exactly. Here. Yes. Sometimes the topic engine sounds like a drawer being opened. So while Chris is choosing from the topic engine here, we just want to say goodbye to Peter Tork of the Monkees. It was kind of a shock. I mean, granted, he's 77 years old, I believe it was, when he passed away, and the Monkees were obviously of a certain age, people of a certain age. The Monkees were extremely important. I know there was a lot of debate over whether they were a boy band or whether they were made up, but I'd like to remind you the Sex Pistols were a boy band. So don't get all high and mighty and be like, I didn't like the Monkees because they were on a TV show. Screw you. The Sex Pistols themselves were a boy band, so deal with it. But I also want to say goodbye to Jackie Shane. Jackie Shane was assigned a male and transitioned into a woman, and she released a series of fantastic soul records. And we're going to close out the show with a live version of her doing the Beatles' Money, That's All I Want. Ooh. And I will tell you, if you're having a bad day, wait until minute 3:23 when Jackie decides that she's going to tell it like it is. Because she lays it down with such poise and such dignity and such ego that you will have considered your life wasted up until the point you've discovered her.
All right.
So what is next on the Topic Engine, sir?
Our next Topic Engine show will be 1966.
All right.
1966.
So we are going to, in theory, choose a selection from that year, 1966. And what is our favorite song from that year?
Okay.
Granted, I don't know what came out in 66. The Topic Engine is a strange and mysterious beast. Hey, while you're at it, if you're looking for things to do, go check out the Star Wars Minute Podcast. They're pretty rad. Check out Good People Doing Good and that podcast, Aggressively Positive. Check out any of the stuff over at Radio Mutation. And anything else?
Be good to each other, people. Keep on rocking.
Rage well, my friends.
Money, Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want. Oh, I need money, baby. Listen to me. I need a whole lot of money. Give me some of them greens. Nah, 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 can't you see that's what Jackie needs? If you wanna keep me happy, baby, know what you gotta give me a little money. Every day of my life, listen to me, Jackie needs money. Said I need money. Child, I need a whole lot of money. I said I need a whole lot of that stuff. All money. Bring it down, baby. Let me tell these people about this money thing. You know, when I'm walking down Young Street, you won't believe this, but you know some of them funny people have the nerve to point the finger at me and grin and smile and whisper. But you know that don't worry, Jackie, because I know I look good. And every Monday morning I laugh and grin on my way to the bank because I got mine. I look good, I got money, and everything else that I need. You know what my slogan is? Baby, do what you want. Just know what you're doing. As long as you don't force your will and your way on anybody else, live your life, because ain't nobody sanctified and holy. You see what I mean? Oh, honey. Because, baby, when we leave here, we don't know where we're going. You know, I ain't going for all that stuff. No, I'm gonna live while I'm here. I'm gonna enjoy the chicken, the women, and everything else that I want to enjoy. And that's how I live. That's why I'm so happy all the time. I'm taking care of business. You know, I don't have my woman telling me, Jackie, you can't do this. You better sit down somewhere. If you want me to stay with you, you better go out and make the money and bring it on home so we can enjoy ourselves. You know, I don't need no woman to help me starve. I gotta have some money, you know, because I wanna look good a long time. You see, everybody's talking, but I'm taking care of business. You know what? You know, it got kinda cool for me when I came up here last fall. And I made it on back. I caught me a jet and went back out to the West Coast to my beach bungalow. Frank Motley was calling every other day. I was sitting out there on the beach just as the sun went down. Well, I'm no square. I got mine. You know, God bless the child that's got his own. And I got so much of my own. You know, I'm taking care of business, Tony. Everywhere I go, you know what? This is the closest to Jesus Christ some of you will ever get. You should travel with me, baby. You think Jesus Christ had come down and walked this earth again. The multitude that follows me is so great, because they know I go along handing out soul blessings, satisfying souls, but I don't satisfy nobody that's a square. You know, you got to know that I need some money and we can get along. You know, I don't want you coming talking about, Jackie, well, I ain't never done this, I ain't never done that. Well, if you haven't, get up and let somebody who can. Don't hinder my business. You see what I mean? Now, I know some of you gals and guys know what I'm talking about when I said, ain't no point in us starving together. You know, I got to have a little help. You know, I'm standing up here perspiring, getting all hot, working hard, and you gonna sit out there and wear what I done made. Mm-mm. You got to help me. You got to at least kind of top what I bring in every week. And then we'll live happy. Cause you know I like to live on the fat of the hog, honey. When I leave this time, baby, I'm going on a 6 month holiday. That's gonna take a whole lot of money. I don't wanna have to do nothing but have breakfast brought to me in bed by gorgeous chicken. Oh, baby, and I want you, you know, we're making an LP right now, and we want you to buy it, because the way I live, me and my chicken, I need the money. Oh, I need the money, honey. So now listen, baby. When you see Jackie walking down the street, or I walk into a restaurant that you're in, I want you to laugh and talk and grin and point the finger at me, because if I ever walked out and they didn't point and whisper about me, I'd go back in and look in the mirror and stick out my tongue. Because I thought I was sick or something. I done lost my touch. You know, because I can't do that. Mother told me, she said, Jackie, she said, baby, I've conditioned you. She says, because you take after me, don't worry about daddy, because you'll get paid for what daddy has to pay for. And like always, mother didn't lie, honey. I'm getting it each and every day of my life. Sometimes it's fatiguing being a Jackie Shane because everybody wants to grease your palms. Everybody wants to help you because they know I just don't give a good... You know, I really don't. I see some people sitting out in the audience sometimes, maybe rolling their eyes and looking all funny. But baby, I like that because they come here each and every night to watch me paying my way through. And if you don't, baby, I can step a little further and somebody else will. So I don't worry. I got so much to work with here. I'm a little piece of leather, baby, but well put together. 98 on the sheets and 75 on the sheets. And I got bed springs on my bed singing "Nearer My God to Thee." You know you got to have money to enjoy that kind of thing. Talking about money, I don't mean $50 or $60. I pay that for my French perfumes. I like to smell good too. Oh, then I need money, baby. I need a whole lot of money. Lord, then I need money, baby. You wanna keep me happy, woman? You gotta give Jackie a little money. Don't worry about what the people say. If you give me money, I'm gonna love you any old way. Lord, come on, baby, get out there and make that money. Go on and make the money. I'll make it rain or shine. Baby, if you wanna be mine, such you gotta give me money, baby. Lord, I need a whole lot.